If you've been thinking about publishing your own book, you're going to love today's guest. Welcome to another episode of Coach's Corner for coaches who want more success now. This is episode number 69, Publish with Purpose. Today's episode is sponsored by Marketing Thunder, marketingthunder.com. You can get a full 7-day trial, full access to all the courses that we have there for just $1 when you go to marketingthunder.com. Promise you, you're going to love it. Hello, my friends. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Robert Imbrielli, and I have a very, very, very special guest for you today. And it's going to be a great conversation. If you're a coach and you're looking for ideas or looking at the idea of writing a book, maybe you have a book already written. Maybe you've got a manuscript in hand ready to go, but not quite sure what the next steps are to take. Well, today's episode is going to be for you. But before I introduce our guests, I want to give you a little free gift here. Just go to robertimbrielli.com/top10, and you can download a copy of my latest ebook, Top 10 Marketing Mistakes and How to Avoid Them. Very powerful ebook full of guidance and ideas of what you may be doing in your marketing. I promise you, you're making at least one of these mistakes in your marketing right now, and correcting it will make all the difference. robertimbrielli.com/top10. Okay, like I told you, I have a great guest for you today, somebody who is a hybrid publisher and not like a traditional publisher. This is so much better. So if you look at it, you could say self-publishing is on one end and traditional publishing is on the other end, and a hybrid sits somewhere in the middle where they do a little bit more for you than the traditional publisher would do. So let me introduce our guest and we'll get rolling with a great, great, great conversation with her. My guest today is Tara Alemany, and she is a multi-award-winning author, speaker, book marketing consultant, and publisher. She speaks frequently on book marketing and publishing topics and works with authors and speakers, helping them to get found online, on stage, and on the shelf. Tara has authored 3 books, co-authored or contributed to 4 others. Her book, The Best Is Yet to Come, won an honorable mention in the 2014 Reader's Favorite Awards and shares the lessons learned while overcoming the unexpected death of her fiancé in October of 2011. In her spare time, she is a winemaker, a martial artist, a juggler, a military mom of 2 young adults, one of each, stepmom to a lovable mutt, and is owned by a black cat. She joins us today for the launch of her latest book, Publish with Purpose. And as I said, you're really going to enjoy the conversation. So let's get over. Let's get Tara on here and let's have a great chat together. Tara, it's so great to have you along with us today. I'm so happy that you took the time to join us here on Coach's Corner. Welcome.
It's great to be with you, Robert. I always enjoy being on your show.
Yeah, and I got real excited today because I know, you've got a new book launch here, and it's something that is always an exciting day in someone's career when they get to launch a book. I remember, the day when my book first came out and how excited I was and couldn't sleep mm-hmm. the night before, and there's a lot of excitement around it. Tell us how it feels today for you.
You know, it's wonderful. It's the first book that I've put out in 4 years. I've been helping others do theirs. So, it's been a little while for me. So it's kind of funny because the first time I had a box of books come years ago, I became very friendly with my UPS man, who I'm on a first name basis, because I made him wait in the driveway while I opened the box so I could show him my book. And so when he came with this most recent box and he said, "It's been a while." I'm like, "Yeah, it's been 4 years." So it's a lot of fun, really exciting feeling, especially because the feedback I'm getting from reviewers and endorsers and advanced readers has been really, really positive. So very excited about that.
I get to count myself as one of the advanced readers as well, and the book is excellent. Can't congratulate you enough on the effort you put forth in putting this content there. I really want to work with the idea today that we're, speaking with coaches for the most part who watch this program, and we've always heard the idea that maybe you should be writing a book, maybe it's important for your career, maybe it's not important for your career. You are, in my eyes, the expert on this topic, and it's like there's more than just writing a book. I know a lot of people say, "Well, I'll write a book and I'll become a millionaire." It's really not the way it works, right?
Good luck with that. You certainly won't if you don't have a plan to go along with it. And I think the most common mistake people make is they think that if they write a book, they'll sell a million copies and therefore make $1 million and all of that. What they're not thinking about, though, is that, you know, most first-time authors, they're selling, at this point, the statistic seems to be about 250 copies over the lifetime of the book, which is an increase because a couple of years when you and I spoke, it was 150 copies. So getting a little better at marketing, but still 250 copies is not going to bring you $1 million. So you have to think about that, those other things that a book can do for you. And sometimes it's about speaking engagements. Sometimes you can increase your fees. I think the main benefit that comes is that it really clarifies your message. You have a much clearer understanding of what it is that you want to teach people when you've taken the time to sit down and write it. So there's all sorts of things that can come from it, though. You know, being able to make great connections and relationships like you and I have. You know, when I think you and I, the last time we were together, we're talking about the plan that launched 1,000 books, which had been out a couple of years at that point in time. But it's a great door opener. People, when they hear that you're an author, they want to talk to you. And especially if you're a coach using a book to build a business, now it's not just talking about your book, but talking about the principles in your book and what sets you apart as a coach. So you can do other things with it as well, like building your mailing list and other things. But it really, you need to be clear about what your goals are and why you're writing the book. And that makes the biggest difference, because once you know that, then you can chart a plan from where you are to where you want to be.
So let's look at that from a little bit more detailed perspective, because I know a lot of coaches will be sitting there going, yeah, you know, I've heard I should be writing a book. I've heard all the good things that can happen. I've heard about this. I've heard about that. The question really becomes where to start. And one of the challenges I run into a lot of times with coaches is that we know too much. We have too many topics, too many ideas, too many different directions. And a book tends to be focused on one central idea and mm-hmm. you're working your way, building your case to support that one idea. Is that a correct assumption, or is that just sort of?
I think it should be. And the best way of approaching a book, if you're a coach, is to think about what is the one common problem that you see your clients dealing with? Because you want to think about it from the standpoint of what's going to be marketable to the ideal client for you. As a matter of fact, my book, even though it's called Publish with Purpose, the first thing it focuses on is understanding who your ideal customer is. Not who your ideal reader is, because that's a separate chapter, but who your ideal customer is. Because you want to make sure that whatever ideas and concepts you settle on is what you want to write about are going to bring you the business that you want. And it starts first with understanding who are you trying to attract. And then what problems are they having and how can you solve it? And that will help you narrow down on the topic that you should be writing about.
Yeah, and I think there's a fear, and I see it a lot when I work with people and we talk about marketing. There's a fear of getting into a niche and getting focused on one specific topic and getting stuck there. And I think that's a sort of a false fear. Because I think you need to come across as an expert in at least one thing. And one of the challenges so many of us coaches have, especially me being trained by Tony Robbins, is like we can coach anybody on anything for any reason at any time. That's a horrible way to market. So mm-hmm. it's better to come out with one central theme and work on one thing. If you want a better relationship, if you want, you know, more self-esteem, if you know, whatever the issue is, focus on one issue and you're not going to get trapped there, because book two could be on a different issue. Book three could be on yet another issue, but you've got to start with one. And I think that's where people get tripped up a lot of times. They go, well, I just don't know how to keep it focused. I can't keep it, you know, to one topic, and they get triggered and they start going into one direction and say, oh, but then I could tell them this. Oh, I could tell them this. I could tell them that. And then all of a sudden you got this book that kind of meanders everywhere and doesn't go anywhere.
Well, the other thing too about the niches is that it makes it easier for a reader to figure out if that book is ideal for them or not. And so it makes marketing and selling easier, because a reader can determine, yeah, this is for me, or no, this isn't for me. You know, you can write a book on how to use Instagram. But if you wrote a book on how to use Instagram for marketing versus how to use Instagram to build your art business, those are two totally separate things. How to use Instagram for photographers. You know, once you have that real clear picture of who you're trying to talk to, you can certainly write those ancillary topics. I think Hal Elrod has done this with his Miracle Morning. If you go into Amazon and look at Miracle Morning, you'll see that there's about 12 different variations on it, including ones for network marketers, for authors, for rich people, for entrepreneurs, all these different versions that are using 75% of the same content and 25% of something that's geared towards a specific audience, but it makes it that much easier for that copy of the book to sell. We've actually found that we have two really niche topics in our catalog that are our best sellers consistently, month over month. And one of them's on a topic I hadn't even heard of before the author came to talk to me about it. And so the book is called The Future of Omnichannel Retail. And I'd never heard of omnichannel retail before. So I'm like, okay, you know, what kind of readership or market is there for this? And as I went out to Amazon and did a little research and saw that everything either came from Japan or Germany, and they had horrible covers. They were like the most unappealing covers I could think, you know, imagine. And so one of the things we really focused on was making sure that our cover design was appealing. We got an endorsement from Paco Underhill, who is the author of Why We Buy, Why We Shop. You know, and it's a huge celebrity endorsement for it. And the author we were working with had no platform whatsoever. So
he's a great guy, by the way. I did interview him.
Yes, Lionel Benny, yes. And very, very entertaining, fun to talk with.
Yes.
But, you know, he's very passionate about his topic, and it shines through in what he's written. The neat thing for him is he wanted to establish his expertise. He wanted to become a speaker, and he wanted to grow his consulting business. And in a matter of 6 months, his book was being used in marketing programs at universities. You know, and those are future marketers coming out that are going to be going into businesses using his principles. He was contacted by the head of a large retail chain in New England that asked if he does consulting or training. And he was like, of course, you know. So his first fan letter for it came from Singapore.
Wow.
And so it was like, okay, wow. That's pretty cool.
So the niche is real important. Okay, so we've got our niche. We've got it. We've decided on, and I really love the way you framed it, is you got to decide on who your ideal client is rather than who your ideal reader is. They're very different, and I get that. And I think that's a, you know, really thinking from the marketing first before you sit down and put pen to paper, thinking about the market you want to attract and the people you want to attract, the people you want to work with. Especially if you're a coach, you don't want to work with everybody. You want to work with a certain group of people. And I have my avatar, the kind of people I love to coach more than any other. And, you know, I could see writing the book specifically for that market. That makes a lot of sense. What's next?
It also makes it more conversational, because when you can clearly picture that person in your mind, you know what problems they're facing and you know how to solve them. And so, you know, you can be really clear on that. It's great. Plus, in some instances, depending on what you're writing, the client, the person purchasing the book, may not be the person reading it. So, for instance, think about children's books. Kids don't buy books. Their grandparents do. Their teachers do. Their librarians do. So you have to kind of think about who your client is first, because they're the ones who are going to pay you money for the content. But then who your ideal reader is, you need to pay attention to that, because you need to make sure the content is written for them. And so it's not always one and the same thing.
Yeah, I love the distinction. I think it's brilliant on your part. So, okay, we've got our you know, ideal client. Now mm-hmm. we start to work on the messaging in the book. Do you have a framework that you like to share with your authors about how they should go about that? I mean, when I did it for Wiley, they didn't really give me much of a framework, but I created one that sort of worked for me, and I got the book written. Do you do that as well with your authors?
We do. If they don't have a manuscript yet, we will help them put together kind of their outline of what it should be. But one of the things that I like encouraging them to do is an exercise that we learned from a friend of ours named Justin Spiesman called the Dear Reader Exercise. And in the Dear Reader Exercise, you sit down and you write a letter to the individual who will be reading your book. And it covers some different things, like, you know, who you are, who they are in some instances, what problem it is that they're trying to solve, why you are the person to help them solve it.
I love this exercise.
If they invest the time and money in reading your book, this is the promise you're making them. So this is what they're going to get out of it. What are you doing over there?
I am pulling out my notepad because I'm writing this down, because this is marketing 101. This is exactly what you need to do in terms of anything that you're going to create, be it a course, be it a, you know, a CD, a video course, a program, whatever you're going to do. You really need to look at it from that perspective and say, what are the problems and what are the challenges people are having with these problems, and how do I propose to solve these in whatever it is I'm going to create? If you've got that, your marketing is done for you.
Right. We often find that these Dear Reader letters, when they're done, parts of it end up being used either as back cover copy, or they may make their way into the introduction. One of the things that we really love doing, though, is taking that Dear Reader letter, and when we send the manuscript to the editor, we send the Dear Reader letter as well.
Oh, I love it.
Because the Dear Reader letter is saying what the reader should get out of it after they've read it. the editor is looking at it, and now with that framework in mind, can say whether or not it hit the target.
And it also gave them a framework for the marketing, how they're going to sell that book.
Yep.
You know, you've already got that figured out. You know who you're going after. And then, you know, people want to know how to make marketing easy. Well, you find an audience, you know, and it's like, you got to be able to be very specific on that audience, who that audience is. And then you speak to them in their language, speak to them, exactly, to their problems, speak to their issues, speak to things they're running into. And then the book becomes, you know, the answer to their problems is buy this book. You know what I mean? Yes, buy this book, you won't suffer anymore.
Right, right. And I think when you have all of that in mind when you're writing it, as I said before, it becomes a conversation instead of proselytizing or preaching or whatever else it might be. And when it becomes conversational, people want more. If you write a book that is just spewing facts, and so they've learned something, but they're not really engaged in the process, then at the end, when the book is done, they close it, they put it on their shelf, that's it. But if you've created something where they feel like they've had this conversation with you all along and they've learned a lot from you, and now they feel like they know who you are as well, which, you know, having your personality reflected in what you're writing, I think is very important, especially if you want to build a business with this book. So, you know, making sure that it's authentically you, then at the end, when they finish closing that book, you know, they're going to, I want to work with that guy. I want to know more about this. I want him to help me do this.
So where were you when I wrote my book?
I know. You need
to talk to my editor and say, don't pull Rob out of the book. That's exactly what happened. They took me out of the book, and it was like, no, it was just a textbook for me. The way I look at it, it was just a textbook. It didn't have any personality to it.
Right. And that's not going to build business.
No.
That's going to educate people, but it's not going to build a relationship, and it's not going to get people to want to work with you.
I used to, in high school, get in trouble in English class a lot, and I didn't graduate very high in the English standards because I would annoy my teachers. They would say, write a 500 word composition. And for me, it would be 17, 18 pages because I couldn't get it done 500 words. It gave them more work, right? So they're like, oh, you didn't follow the directions, so you get a D. You know, okay. And, you know, I graduated high school thinking I wasn't any good in English. But in fact, what happened was I write very conversationally. And you're dead on with this point when you said you got to write like it's a conversation. I had written a paper in college. I took a political science course in college. And, you know, all the political stuff, it just didn't work. So I wrote what was essentially a narrative instead, about my experience of the politics in Quebec and Montreal and all the rest of it, and how we were living through the language stuff that was going on there at the time. And so we turned in the paper, and I knew it wasn't what they, you know, the assignment wasn't that at all. And I just wrote what I could write and know would work well. Get to class, and all of a sudden he says, I have a paper here I want to read. It's excellent. Best paper I've ever read in all the years he's been a teacher, he says, you know. So he starts reading it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is my paper. He's reading my paper. And I thought I was going to get like an F and fail because I didn't follow the directions at all. But that was illustrating to me how powerful it is when you can write conversationally, when you can write and get in their heads. And it's literally like them being in front of you. The connection, you know, we talk about it in terms of media. You know, the biggest connection you can have is face-to-face. That's why we do this podcast on video, so people could see us, right? Not only hear us. But the same can be said in a book. If you're writing a conversation, then you are in their head and you are connecting with them.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Well, thank you for bringing that up because you nailed it. I mean, this is really good stuff. Do you counsel your authors on their writing style at all? I don't know many author or editors that do that.
It's not so much that I counsel them on their writing style as when we have a manuscript, we go through multiple phases of editing. And so I have an editor that'll pass through it a couple of times first. I always take the final pass. And when I do it, I go through probably three or four times before I sit down with the author. And one of the things, because I've had conversations with the author in my former life, I was a technical writer, so I was very good at capturing the way people spoke and the way they presented information. So when I go through this final edit and I'm sitting down with the author, we go through all of the question parts. You know, it certainly I'm not going to tell them I inserted a comma here or anything like that, but I'll say, you know, you can bring more of yourself into this, or this isn't quite clear, or what do you mean by this? And when I'm doing that, a lot of times we're sitting there with a screen share, and so we're fixing it together. And there'll be times where I'll type something in and they'll go, well, I would say it this way. It's like, okay, then let's fix it. You know, let's make sure that it's the way you would say it.
I love it.
You know, so for me, a lot of it is because what ends up happening is there are times when I've joked about the fact that I used to do a lot with social media and social management. And I never recommend having somebody 100% manage your social media, because I've been to a conference where somebody came up to a speaker afterwards and they had been having a very engaging dialogue on social media. And the speaker had no idea who this person was because he had somebody else managing his account.
Ouch!
You know, and so for me, the book is the same way. It's much more extensive than what you'll get on Twitter or Facebook. But you want, when somebody does have a conversation with you, whether it's, you know, you're a speaker at a conference or they are applying to work with you or whatever else, you want them to recognize that it's you. And so if your writing style is very different from your speaking style, it's not going to feel like the same person. And so it's not going to feel authentic, and it's going to take a longer time to make the connection that you need to be effective.
But and we so were when taught you- that. We were taught that in high school. That's what they taught us. They taught us writing is different than speaking. And it's so wrong. It is so, so, so wrong.
It is wrong if you want to use a book to build a business.
Right.
It is not wrong if you're writing for imparting information. And that's the sole purpose of it. So if you're writing a textbook, yeah, I probably would not have a lot of personality in it, because it's more about conveying information than about building a relationship. But if you want to build a relationship, you can't have two cut out cardboard, you know, people having conversations, because they don't get anywhere. So it needs to be genuine.
There was a textbook I read in college, and it was on video, and there was, the author was, had a lot of personality, cracking jokes throughout the whole thing. It was really funny. It was one of those things, and it's like it stood out to me as being the best textbook because it was easy to read. It was very conversational. So I'm wondering, you know, my own thinking here is, wouldn't it be better if you did bring some of that in instead of making these textbooks so dry? Wouldn't students get more out of them?
Yep. One of my favorite books in college was Strunk and White's Elements of Style, because there's a lot of snarkiness in that book, you know? And it's really fun to read. And, you know, at the beginning of the semester, when the professor had assigned that not only were we going to read it, but we were going to memorize parts of it to make sure that we didn't make certain grievous errors in the rest of our career. It was like, oh, really? We're reading Elements of Style? But I loved it. I still have my college copy.
Wow. So let me ask you this question then. If we're looking at writing to be conversational, how about dictating a book?
That's often a great way to do it. As a matter of fact, if somebody is struggling with having a conversational writing style, I will tell them to dictate their book. You know, with this book published with Purpose that just came out, I told you that February 1st, I did not have word one written yet. 77 days later was when my box of books arrived.
Wow.
So in that time, it was written, it was edited, I had endorsers, I had it designed and laid out and printed. And a big part of that was two things. One is I dictated my book, most of it, not all of it. There comes times when it's more comfortable to sit down and write, but for, I would say probably 80% of it's dictated, which makes it conversational. The other thing that was really, really important was I scheduled time. Okay, most people think, I want to write a book, I'll fit it in someplace, I'll work on it when I get around to it, but that's never going to happen. So I made a point of scheduling out blocks of time in my calendar that this was my writing time, and I treated myself like I was a client. And so if there was time in the calendar that was supposed to be my writing time, all right, that's it. I sit down and wrote. And as a matter of fact, because I own a publishing company, we actually treated this project exactly like we would any other client project. I went through the Dear Reader exercise. I went through our Dear Author exercise. I did all of the things that I would anticipate our authors to do as well, you know, with the outreach for the endorsers and the outreach for the reviewers. And so everything in our project system is exactly the same thing that we would have if I was any other client. Except
would
I didn't
you,
have to pay myself.
Share some of your reader stuff with us? I'm very curious to know how that looked, or just give me some idea of what the Dear Reader letter looked like for you, for this book.
For me, a lot of it was about that for me, I take such satisfaction out of helping people reach their goals, that a lot of what I put into it was the fact that, you know, I've done this. I don't need to write 50 books to feel good, you know. But what I really do enjoy is helping others who are struggling with the process, but who want that end result and are willing to put the work in, but they just need somebody to come along and partner with them on it. They just need somebody to guide them along the way. And if anything, that's probably the thing that makes Emerald Lake Books so different from other publishers, is that we don't just take your book and you know, take your manuscript and give you a book at the end. We coach you through the entire process, everything from, you know, how to strengthen the writing to, you know, how are we going to put business building elements in this book? What will they look like? What does your business need the most in order to grow, so that we can figure out how to weave that into the narrative without it being a huge sales pitch? You know, throughout my book, you'll find different resources that I recommend or mention, the opportunity to work with us, but it's done in a very organic and natural way. And that's one of the things that, you know, we help our clients to do as well, because for me, the Dear Reader letter was written with the intent of really helping other wannabe authors reach their goals.
There you go. Wannabe authors, helping them reach their goals, which is to have a published book in hand.
Yes.
And I saw your video on Facebook the other day when you received your box of books. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Like you said, there's no better feeling. And hey, UPS guy, don't leave yet. I want to show you this. This is exciting.
Yep.
Especially if you're home alone and there's no one to share it with, right?
Yes. Gordon and I have become good friends over the years.
But you did the right thing too. You made the video, you put it up on Facebook, and you get all the accolades from all your friends. And I saw that post just kept popping up in my feed because there's a lot of activity on it. It's really cool. I really appreciated seeing that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's your goal really, is to find these authors who are, or either already have their manuscript. I think there are a lot of people out there who do. They've already written it, but they know it needs to be tightened up, but they may not know where to go next with it. And I think you're a fabulous resource for them to be able to say, okay, here's where you are. Here are the next steps you need to go through, because publishing, while it's gotten a lot easier, is still not simple.
Right.
A lot of people think it's simple. It's not simple yet, but it's easier than it used to be. You don't have to beg a publisher anymore to publish your book. You don't have to have a garage full of 5,000 copies of it, and try to sell it yourself. There's, better systems out there, better ways of doing this today. But, you know, there's still a lot of steps to it. And let's talk about the design of the book. Let's talk about that graphical side, because the people get stuck on the cover. Do you put your face on the cover of the book? Do you not put your face on the cover of the book? Are there standards that you have to follow?
There are certainly standards you have to follow. And it's interesting because one of the things people think is, oh, I have a friend who's a graphic designer and they can create the cover for me. Well, there's a difference between graphic design and cover design. There are certain standards associated with covers that not all graphic designers know, because they haven't been trained to do covers.
Right.
And so, you know, that's a huge part of it. It has to do with, I am not a designer, but it has to do with the golden ratio, and it has to do with the rule of thirds. And there's some other things in there that my designer has told me about that, you know, it's like, but for the other thing to think about is the category your book is going to fit in. Because you have this balancing act that you're trying to make between it looking like it fits in the category and yet standing out somehow from the other books in the category. And for my particular book, it's almost a little bit of a joke, but when you look at any books related to publishing or to writing or to book launches, a common theme is a rocket. And it is so overdone.
Everybody's used it by now.
They have. And yet it's kind of one of those things that if you see a rocket, you know, it's about launching. It's about books. And so I really resisted the idea of going with a rocket at all. And yet one of my favorite stories, and something that has had a very personal impact for me, but is also something we reflect in our business, is a story by Andy Andrews called The Butterfly Effect. And in it, Andy talks about the fact that in 1963, a graduate student proposed a theory that a butterfly on one side of the world could flap its wings and shift the molecules of air around it in such a way that it would change weather patterns on the other side of the world. And everybody laughed at him, right? In the mid-90s, it was actually proven that yes, in fact, a butterfly can flap its wing on one side of the world and cause weather disturbances on the other side of the world, and it is now a law. And so for me, if you think about our writing, if you think about our book, the cover design that I wanted was a butterfly with its wings flapping and like ideas being dispersed behind it. but that didn't work out graphically very well. It looked more like litter than anything else. It really wasn't what we were going for. So my partner went for the idea of combining the rocket and the butterfly, because we really wanted that concept of the butterfly. When we write, we share our ideas, we put it out into the world. It's a very humbling thing, especially when you have people come and tell you, oh, I really got so much out of what you wrote.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. And yet every single time, it's like the first time. You know, and the idea that our ideas can go out there, have an impact, shift a thought, change somebody's mind about things, get them to do something that they wouldn't otherwise do. If you have enough of those, things are going to change. Society's going to change. People are going to change. And so for me, it's just a very powerful concept. And so, you know, bringing that into the cover was something very important to me. So that,
do you have
that's
the book in front of you?
I left it upstairs.
Oh, okay.
when we got on, I thought, oh, I should go up and get a copy, and I didn't.
Okay. Well, I will put a graphic up on here so people can see the cover, but they'll see it at the beginning because it's in the intro as well. So, yeah, I noticed the butterfly on the rocket. I said, well, there's got to be a story behind this. There's got to be something here. I couldn't figure it out, but now it makes total sense.
Yes, and so that was kind of one of the things we went back and forth about was, did I need to bring that story earlier in the book so that people would understand the cover sooner? But part of it is just, it's eye-catching. And so it's that, you know, what is this about? And so they pick it up and they want to learn more. So hopefully it does its job. My partner, art director, Mark Gerber, keeps insisting that if I have to explain it, it's not working.
It's true. It's true.
We'll see.
Let's talk a little bit about how you work with authors, because I know that you know, you have a fairly unique, you're kind of a hybrid publisher. You're not really a regular publisher where you turn in a manuscript and it's off your plate and they take care of the rest. You're kind of a hybrid publisher, and I really love this idea of coaching the author through paragraph by paragraph of things that need to be fixed and changed. And oftentimes when we're writing, we know the information in our head, but it doesn't necessarily come out through the keyboard, you know, and somebody looking over that and saying, you know, I don't quite understand what you're going for here. You understood it when you wrote it because it was in your head, but you didn't actually get it onto the computer.
Or if you dictated it, it wasn't transcribed correctly, and you don't even know what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, well, that happens too.
when it comes to publishing, to me, publishing is publishing. There's just different business models that we use, right? And so traditional publishers are, you know, everybody wants a traditional publisher, but you lose a lot of creative control, and you lose a lot of control that you need if you're going to grow your business with a book, because there are a lot of things they're going to edit out. You know, in your own experience, you have personality taken out, but there's perhaps some resources that you might want to share that they won't feel comfortable with, or they only want links in your bio and never nowhere else in the book and things like that. So it doesn't fit everybody's need. So a lot of people will go to self-publishing, but the issue with self-publishing is it's like most solopreneurs know, they start out their business, and they're the chief cook and bottle washer, they're their janitor, they're trying to do client work, they're trying to do all these different things. And most of that is not a good use of their time because they're not building their business. They should be building their business and doing client work, and everything else should be outsourced to somebody who knows how to do it better than they do, right? So that they can build their business. So when you're self-publishing, you're kind of taking that model of, I'm going to do it all, but you don't know what you don't know. And so you may not get the same distribution that somebody who you partner with who has that experience can give you. So we're a hybrid publisher, meaning that you do pay for services rendered, meaning that, you know, you are going to pay us for, you know, doing editing, for doing the design and layout of your book, all these different things. But we know what we're doing. And because we know what we're doing, we actually act as a guide and a resource for you. So you don't have to figure it all out. We're going to give you the same kind of distribution that you can get from a traditional publisher. We don't have an active sales force, which is the major benefit of having, you know, a traditional publisher, because they'll go into bookstores for you and try and sell it. But it can be purchased anywhere in the world working with somebody like us. We've got cover design, we've got editing. So when we're doing all of this, you're essentially taking the same approach that you would as you grow your business. If you outsource your bookkeeping to a bookkeeper, if you outsource your social media management or your website design to somebody who knows what they're doing. If you want to use a book to build your brand and business, you don't want to have to figure out yourself how to do it. You want to work with somebody who can say, okay, this is the next step. One of the things that is very powerful exercise in the book is the Dear Author exercise. And as much as we were shared the Dear Reader exercise, the Dear Author exercise is something I came up with as an extenuation of it. It's the same concept in terms of writing a letter, but instead of writing a letter to the reader, when it's time to do the Dear Author exercise, yourself 18 months in the future is writing a letter to you now. And that 18 month in the future self is sharing all of the things that were accomplished when your book came out and was successfully launched. And it's really kind of a very emotional experience because you sit there and it gives you the freedom to dream and to kind of hope for the kind of impact that you want to have. And when we do that, we actually use that as a means of working on building your marketing plan. Because after the letter is written, we highlight all of the different outcomes. We have you prioritize what the top three are. And in those top three, we figure out what resources do you need, what training do you need, what partnerships do you need in order to accomplish those three. And how do you get from where you are now to where you want to be? And so that's really the power of, you know, how to use your book to build your business. Because if you want to use your book as part of a funnel, where does it fit in the funnel? What's the upsell? What's the downsell? You know, all of these different things that we're really blending publishing with business coaching with marketing to be able to maximize the impact of your book. And so that's what makes us a little bit different.
It feels like you're more of a marketing agency feeling rather than just a publisher. The publishing seems to be one piece of it. And that was the thing when I went with traditional publisher for my last book was the, you know, there was no marketing there. They didn't help with the promotion. They didn't help with anything. It all fell back on my plate. They helped getting the book done. It was printed. It was nice. It was pretty. And yep. I didn't really like the cover, but you know, that was about it. After that, it was all up to me to do the marketing and promotion of it.
Right.
So it seems like you take this one step further than the, you know, the traditional publisher, and you'll actually help with, you know, when you're starting to look at social media and you're starting to look at where does the book fit in your bigger picture, in your funnel, if you will, you know, you're really taking it to a new level there.
We certainly are. And not only that, when the book is launched, you know, afterwards, you're not left to your own devices. You know, when we see things that we think you should be taking advantage of, whether it's a book award competition or a podcast that we think you would be a good fit for, all of these different things, we make sure that our authors are aware of these opportunities. Just this morning, I sent out an email blast to our authors because I saw a webinar that I thought would be really good for them that was about how to grow your platform. And so, you know, I'm keeping an eye out for these things because I get a lot of this information because I'm on a lot of mailing lists, you know. But when there's something that I think is a special value to our authors, I'll make sure that they're aware of it so that they have that support system they need to succeed, as opposed to, here's your book, have fun. How many copies do you want?
Where are we going to send the boxes to? Yeah.
Yeah. How big is your garage?
So if we go to emeraldlakebooks.com, which is your website, how does a potential author or somebody with a manuscript already in hand, how do they get started?
You won't find it in the menu listing at all, but you're going to go to emeraldlakebooks.com/application. And there you will find a form that allows you to tell us about your book and what you're hoping to accomplish. And so it's a beginning of a conversation for us. And the reason that it's not listed is that we don't want just everybody filling out the application. We really like to kind of filter who's coming. And so when I'm on a show like this and can share it, I know that your audience would be great for us. I'd love to talk with the coaches that you're working with and that are interested in your content. So emeraldlakebooks.com/application will take them to where they can get started.
And I'll make sure that link appears on the bottom here when we do the final edit of this show. Emeraldlakebooks.com/application. You can get your feet in the water, get your feet wet and find out. So from the application, I guess your next step is a phone call.
Yep. Typically what we do is it gives us an opportunity to kind of look through what you're trying to accomplish. We can research where you're at already. So once we see your website and get a feel for where you're, you know, what you're doing and whether or not your proposed book topic is even in alignment with what you're trying to do. So it raises a bunch of questions so that when we do get on a call with you, it's not just a getting to know you call, although it's certainly that. But it's also the opportunity for us to ask some really pointed questions about what you're trying to accomplish. Because everything that we have been doing with Emerald Lake Books has been focused around this goal-oriented framework that we've put together. And we're really interested in helping our authors achieve the goals that they want to achieve and part of that is understanding what the goals are. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people, when they're in business, they haven't set down those goals for themselves yet because they're still trying to just make it day to day.
Yeah.
We want to get beyond, you know, just making it day to day to how are you going to grow?
Well, they don't set the goals because they really don't know where to go. And I think you're asking the right questions, and it really causes people to go, oh, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the best answers you can hear, because it's like, okay, then we know we're opening up a new frontier for you. We're opening up a new way, line of thinking, or a new focus for you that'll help with getting the book done. And I think once you go through that process, the book kind of writes itself. Mm-hmm. For me, I know what worked best was writing the outline in terms of writing the table of contents. And what I did is all the chunks that I wanted to do, I had 16 chapters in the book. Wiley had already decided there were going to be 16 chapters. So I did the 16 topics I wanted to cover in the book. And then just once a week, I just wrote a chapter. And yep. 16 weeks, the book was done, and, you know, off we go. So yeah, I really love the fact that you're going to put together a framework like that, because it makes it so much easier. You know, people are struggling to write books. Most often what I find is because they're not focused. You know, when yep. you can get them focused and the way you're doing it is very brilliant, I think that helps a lot.
Well, I think the way we do it as well safeguards them from overwhelm. You know, there's a lot of things that need to be done in order to do a book properly, not just writing it and producing it, but marketing it and preparing it and launching it. And so, you know, we will provide, I actually send out emails with homework assignments, you know, so your homework assignment this week is to make a list of potential endorsers, nothing more than that, you know, but when you nice. Get that homework assignment done, you are one step closer to being ready to ask for endorsements, you know, and so when people are working with us, I'm very aware of the fact that it's very easy to become overwhelmed very quickly with all of the different moving pieces that need to happen when you're launching a book. And so by giving them piecemeal like this, not only am I helping them get the assignment done, but to understand what it is that they're doing and why they're doing it. So that if they wanted to do it on their own again next time, they could always go back to everything that we referred, you know, sent to them. But in all honesty, when somebody works with us, they bring their second books to us as well.
I'm sure they do. I want to thank you so much for being here today. I love, 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 love having you as a guest. You are just not afraid to share, not afraid to spill the beans, if you will. And there, you know, some guests are a little skittish about that, but you've brought some great value here to the conversation today. And I really, really appreciate you. So I'm going to invite everyone to go emeraldlakebooks.com/application. If you are an author who has a book idea in hand already, or you're a little bit further along, you've actually got, you know, a book partially written, or even further, you've got the whole manuscript, you're ready to go. EmeraldLakeBooks.com/applications, where I would suggest you go. Tara, thank you so much for being part of our show today.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed our interview with Tara. Remember, go to EmeraldLakeBooks.com/application. And you could fill out the application there to get started having a conversation with Tara, and she will help walk you through the process of getting your book published. But not just getting a book published, using it as a marketing tool to help build your business. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. As always, if you have comments, questions, you can email me, robert@ultimatewealth.com. Always happy to read your emails. And I look forward to seeing everybody back here for our next episode of Coach's Corner next week. Thanks so much for watching.